I'd like to welcome you all to the session AA Grapevine, International Journal of AA. My name is Ken and I'm an alcoholic. Job description wise, I'm currently serving as the chair of Grapevine, and my two partners for the day are also directors of Grapevine. That'll be Don and Nancy. I'll let them tell you more about themselves in a moment. We have a format, and it says to start with a moment of silence. Thank you. 75 years of Alcoholics Anonymous. Just to clarify what we're doing today, we're talking about the Grapevine as the Journal of Alcoholics Anonymous. And there are any numbers of working definitions of journal, but they all have to do with reporting out in one way or another, except some obscure definition that's part of an axle. I don't understand that, but if you're a mechanic, maybe you know that term. You may have seen this publication floating about. I'd like to think you all purchased one, but in fact about half of you have. For the half that haven't, in English, Spanish, or French, we've only run enough for the conference so that we really don't anticipate nor desire to have any left over when the conference is concluded. I just wanted to let you know that they are available at the registration desk. You have to pay at one place, $4. Cross the hall to the other place to pick them up. Now, in celebration of the fact that this is our 75th anniversary, what I've done is I went back through our digital archives and I pulled out some historical information about the Grapevine, about Alcoholics Anonymous, actually. I went to the humor sections. In fact, I just used the word humor as a search tool, and I came up with some interesting information. For instance, February of 1946, I found this one about two characters, two drunks, Pat and Mike. Sure. They decided to swear off and were on the way to the priests to take the pledge. En route to the saloon, Mike said, "Let's stop in for our last drink." I imagine he was teary-eyed at the thought. Pat said, "No, indeed. The Father may smell it on our breaths. Better wait till we come back." This one, from March of 1947, the end of World War II, the verbiage, the style of the day, I'll read it as it was written because the wording is a little interesting. "The English barmaid was a flirtatious piece, and the tall, sunburned Texas private was right down her alley. The MP had left the bar for a moment, and the barmaid cuddled up to the Texan and murmured, 'Here's your chance, big boy.' 'You said it,' agreed the private enthusiastically, and reached out and grabbed the MP's beer." This one from 1954, September. A drunk struggled to the bar and sputtered, "Give me something for a hangover." "What do you want?" the bartender asked. The sufferer could only mutter, "Tall, cold, full of gin." "Sir," snapped the drunk standing next to him, "you are referring to the woman I love." our first speaker will be Nancy.
I like that segue, although I myself was frequently full of scotch. My name is Nancy H., and I am an alcoholic. It is my great good fortune to serve all of you as a non-trustee director on the board of AA Grapevine, Inc. And I'm here to talk to you today about AA Grapevine as our meeting in print, which we put on the cover. And as we point out in the AA Grapevine Statement of Purchase, which we publish in the front of every edition, Articles are not intended to be statements of AA policy, nor does publication of any article imply endorsement by either Great AA or the Grapevine. So I just want you all to know that disclaimer applies to anything I share this morning, too. The AA Grapevine itself began in 1944. La Viña, our Spanish language bimonthly, was first published in 1996, and we ventured out into the online world in 1998. So I am using the phrase, our meeting in print, to include all equivalent forms, the English and Spanish print, audio, and digital versions, just as the formats of available recovery meetings have changed over the years to encompass all these possibilities. The name, Our Meeting in Print, was coined during World War II after the Grapevine editor sent a copy to every known AA member in the armed forces. Cut off from meetings and contacts with other members, the Grateful Soldiers referred to the Grapevine as their meeting in print, and we've used the name ever since. It has been my privilege to hear many current stories from men and women returning from Iraq and Afghanistan who speak movingly and with equal gratitude for their own copies of AA Grapevine and La Viña received while on duty. One soldier did tell me that his copies were withheld for 10 months, as were all other magazines that appeared in plain black wrappers, apparently associated with a different sort of publication, containing even more exotic centerfolds than AA subscription forms. He was, however, very happy to receive them all in one giant pile, although almost a year late, proving that AA stories have a very long shelf life. An integral part of Alcoholics Anonymous for 66 years, Grapevine publications form a lifeline linking one suffering alcoholic to another. Just as in 1944, when isolated groups scattered all across our country had little opportunity to know how AA worked elsewhere, so now the changes in the composition of our membership, not always apparent in each of our own neighborhoods or home groups, have increased the need for communication among different segments of the AA population, and we all can share this experience through our meeting in print. The 1986 General Service Conference recognized AA Grapevine as the International Journal of Alcoholics Anonymous, which to me is a useful description of how AA Grapevine presents to the fellowship. Our meeting in print seems to me to be a good description of how the fellowship responds to that presentation. Bill W. fondly referred to six ink-stained wretches, the four women and two men who began this adventure for us. We do not know if either a coffee pot or a resentment was involved in the onset of this meeting, but we do know that many new resentments have been created. As a quick glance at Dear Grapevine each month confirms, this was my first clue that meeting in print might be a really apt description for Grapevine. Like the meetings of my home group, which is the Sunnyside Serenity Group in Deer Park, Monday night, 7:30, you're all welcome, but probably not the same Monday night. It is Grapevine's mission to communicate the experience, strength, and hope of its contributors and to reflect current AA experience with recovery, unity, and service, with the single central purpose of carrying the AA message to alcoholics and practicing the AA principles in all its affairs. Also, like some meetings I attend, our performance does not always meet our goal. But perhaps like some of you, I live in a very small town, and we all know each other's stories. If somebody gets sick one night, any one of us probably could pick up and tell their stories. So we are very grateful for visitors, for newcomers, for shifting our vision and reminding us of our purpose. Our meeting in print does exactly the same thing, allowing us to recognize our fellow trudgers on the road of happy destiny. My own experience with the AA Grapevine began in 1988. I got sober in July of that year. I'm always sad it was the 17th, so at internationals, I'm always almost a year off in the countdown. We do resent very odd things. By the end of August, I managed to find my way into AA and saw my first Grapevine sometime thereafter. And I would like to say within hours, but who knows, minutes, weeks, days. At some point, I was able to extract the card and send it in, and I've been a subscriber ever since. And even more importantly, I've been a reader ever since. There's a woman who lives across the street from me who's been in and out for, I think, 23 years now, who has 23 years' worth of unwrapped grapevines in her garage. Much like her, this is another perfect meeting-like thing. Much like the way she hesitates to go to actual face-to-face meetings, she doesn't even want to pull the covers on her meeting in print. So I do read it, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Occasionally, I bang myself on the head with my issue. I throw it across the room. I complain very loudly to my husband or my sponsor, whichever one is close and will listen. And I express great displeasure. More often, I cry, I laugh, I speak to the copy in my hand. Oh, so true, so true. It's no good nodding your head in a magazine. You have to use words. And I can't wait to share the amazing new ideas that I found. Pretty much, of course, this is my reaction to all meetings I attend, in person or in print. I have been blessed to attend AA meetings in many different places, and like all of you, every meeting that I found is all wrong in that it reflects its own surrounding culture, and it doesn't do AA exactly the way that it was done in the room where I got sober. And each meeting is wonderful because it's AA, and my people are there, and you all are speaking the language of the heart. And just as I have never attended an AA meeting where I have not heard something new, sometimes the same new thing week after week because I don't retain very well, I have never opened a grapevine without that same experience. Oh, and for those of you, Ken mentioned the digital archives. You see what a trove of humorous materials in there. For those of you like me with gnat-like attention spans, the digital archives is a guilty pleasure because I start out looking up a phrase or, say, tradition one, and I come out the other end hours later at a completely different place. It's like a truly fascinating marathon meeting, like listening to the old-timers share where you just want to say, go on, go on. And it makes me think for years our fellowship has talked about how to have a follow-on history book to AA Comes of Age, and we have not as yet come to a satisfactory solution. And I've thought that if you sat down and read every single report of every single general service conference, you would certainly have a splendid overview of our evolving history. But that's kind of a daunting thought to undertake such a thing. But if you unravel the threads of the changing AA perspective through the decades by way of grapevine articles, it's a way to experience and share our history in an accessible way that makes perfect sense to me because we are a culture of storytellers. That's our native language. Every single grapevine contains all the ingredients, too, for a bona fide meeting. It begins with the AA preamble. It has AA-related announcements. It has great speakers, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, the responsibility declaration written by a former grapevine editor, and the serenity prayer. All you have to do is add one or more alcoholics. And another very meeting-like characteristic of the grapevine is the way we have a theme for the issues, but we include stories on unrelated topics. Much like, at least in my home group, where the speaker says, the topic tonight is gratitude, but of course, if you feel compelled to share on something else, go right ahead. And when the Grapevine does have an issue devoted to those in prison, say, it always contains the other material, which I think is in keeping with AA's custom of having meetings particular to certain groups, men, women, young people, old people, pilots, some combination of these things, that will expand their meeting scope to accommodate an alcoholic in need. For instance, I have a friend, Jeff, in San Francisco, who was popped for drunk driving, and he was court-ordered. And he found that there was a meeting, knowing nothing about AA, close to his apartment, so he just blithely showed up at what was a closed lesbian biker meeting. Now, Jeff was not even able to say he was an alcoholic at this stage, but these women took one look and voted for the next 6 weeks to open their meeting for him. And sadly, he is not sober as we speak, but that group is going strong. And I think that's what we do, the best we can to pass it on, and will be to keep ourselves going for the next time we need to pass it on. So I hope that anyone who picks up a Grapevine can find something he needs or wants or even finds annoying. When I was drinking, I believed that the trouble, I had this deeply held belief, somewhere between drink 9 and drink 14 was where the difficulty lie. And I used to count with my fingers to find where that point was, but if you smoke and you drink and you use your fingers to count, I never came upon it. And after I was sober for some months, I was able to hear. I'm sure somebody said it at my first meeting, but I certainly didn't hear it. The astonishing revelation that it was the first drink that was causing my difficulty. Now, in addition to making it much easier to stay sober, not having to do all that research, it taught me that my own thoughts and methods of problem identification and solution were sadly lacking. And so just as I don't know how few meetings I can get away with and still retain some semblance of sanity, on any given day, I don't know what tools I'm going to need. So that's another reason I keep my Grapevine, I read it, I keep it with me, because I never know when I may need a meeting, and they're just not always available driving down the freeway, which is why the MP3, I don't read my Grapevine driving down the freeway. I have learned some things. So in summary, the Grapevine, our meeting in print, is a place to safely air or blatantly display our differences, to demonstrate that unity is very different from uniformity, a place where wider than one's own neighborhood or group and a window to what the rest of us are doing. As fabulous as it is to be here in San Antonio with tens of thousands of our closest friends, we can maintain this same contact with many more of us with every single issue. In a 1945 letter, our co-founder wrote that if every AA clearly grasps the facts about the Grapevine, if we see the importance of maintaining our national voice, I think the Grapevine subscribers will be very glad to pay whatever the freight may be. After all, the Grapevine is to be their voice, their newspaper. Bill W.'s optimism may have been justified 65 years ago, but only we can decide now to keep the doors of our meeting open, both by our financial support and by our own willingness to contribute our experience, strength, and hope, by stories, by pictures, on binder paper, digitally, in any format that shares your own voice. 5 years ago in Toronto, we all stood together and recited the Responsibility Declaration. I am responsible. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there, and for that, I am responsible. I would like us to be able to offer an AA Grapevine in that hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Thanks a lot. You gave me a thought a moment ago. I often have those meetings while driving on the freeway, too. I'm always alone in the car, and I don't have a copy playing the radio. I just hold my own meetings. Couple of announcements. One, you may have noticed a microphone out there. My partners have assured me that there will be time at the end for adequate sharing from the floor. Also, there's no requirement to have a subscription of Grapevine to participate in this session. I wanted to make that clear at the outset. All are welcome. If you should choose to want to subscribe, drop by the Grapevine booth downstairs, and there are people who will help you out. Digging further through our digital archives, well, not everything is funny. Some of it is just insightful. In 1960, it said, "Strange that so many people who took their whiskey straight seem to want their AA very much diluted." And then, here's another one from 1954. "Why in some parts of the world can you get a pound of coffee, two loaves of bread, and a quart of whiskey, and a wife for $3? Can't be very good whiskey. And here's one that I think was probably riotously funny in 63, but could be interpreted totally differently today. The excuses we make when we're under pressure. There was a guy who was collared by the cops for operating a still. "In case you've heard all the excuses, listen to this. I make the stuff," the drunk said, "to mix with gasoline for my outboard engine." Now, someone in 63 reading that and being insightful in the investment world may have thought, "I think I'll call it ethanol." One more. Drunk is staggering home late one night, and he's confronted by his wife at the door. And she said, "You're guzzling, you and your guzzling, gambling, no good buddies, while you were out, a burglar broke in." And the guy looked sheepishly at her and said, "Did he get anything?" To which she said, "You bet he did. I thought it was you." I'd like to introduce Don.
How do you even follow that? Hi, everybody. My name is Don Iller. You can separate that out. It's one of those things. I am definitely alcoholic, and I'm really happy to be here. I happen to be serving you as a director on your Grapevine board and as a general service trustee on the general service board, which actually means that. I know, and talk a little bit about the International Journal of AA because I'm going to talk a little bit about the institutional side of this because three quarters of my resentments when I sobered up were toward institutions. And so I think it incredibly humorous that I am actually serving the institutional side of AA. You just never know where your recovery comes from. So anyway, and I'm getting to the place where I need bifocals, but I have not yet committed to them. So, my talk is going to be a little bit of rambling, a little bit of observation. It's interesting. I've had this dilemma since I've been reading the Grapevine for, 22 years, I guess. I got a subscription right after I sobered up. And I read. I'm a reader. What I do is, just to let you know my habits, I like magazines, and the reason I like magazines is because it gives an editor a chance to put things together. I skim newspapers, but there's usually so much noise, and if I wait for a book to be published, it's like old news. And in AA, just as an observation, I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but we haven't really produced anything new as a book for I think it was 1939. 1952 for the 12 and 12, and then in 1955 we produced A Comes of Age. And I think that's actually by design. I think it's really wonderful. Bill and Bob and the whole crew went through a transition. They went through a period where we transitioned the ownership of AA as a fellowship from the founders to us. And one of the ways I tend to look at that today is that we are all founders of the future of Alcoholics Anonymous. That was turned over to us in a couple of ways. One, I don't know if you're familiar with the General Service Conference, but the people that approve our book. And by the way, the fourth edition of the Big Book took 10 years from the time we started talking about it till we delivered it. And what's the difference in the Big Book? Stories. So it kind of, what I love about this is that we have this nice balance between our principles, which are articulated in the thing that we all agree is us through a common dialogue. I call it the most common denominator, the things we will agree that we'll all do. And I think what's fascinating about it is I'm pretty sure that there's as many interpretations of the Big Book and the 12 and 12 and the concepts and the traditions as there are people. And one of the things that I really like, and one of the things that I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, the meaning in print, this debate I've had is like, what's the institutional side of the grapevine? What's its purpose in the big picture for us all? And then what's a meeting in print? And sometimes I enter dialogues and people are like, it's a meeting in print. It's the International Journal of AA. It's a meeting in print. It's the International Journal of AA. I personally believe it's both. AA is many, many, many things. It's not, as far as I've been able to tell, it's not meetings, it's not groups, it's not the steps, it's not the traditions, it's not the Big Book, it's all of it. And what's really interesting is that if you have and the other thing too that I think that Bill made really clear as we went through the development of AA and turning the future of AA over to us is that AA is not stagnant. And if you haven't produced a new book for 60 years, and you haven't produced a new history since 1955, and AA is intensely local, today if you think about it, we're going to have 50,000 people here this weekend. That's about 3 or 4% of our fellowship. And it took, by the time you spent your money and your time, and the AA spent the money, we spent the money on registration to get here, we probably spent $10 million or more to have us be here to share in person. And AA is intensely local, and so if we operate, and I believe that AA is really simple, it's just like the Big Book says in the foreword to the third edition, it says AA at its core is simple and personal. Which actually drives us, as far as I can tell, to really focus on our groups and focus on what we're telling each other without a lot of input. And from what I can tell, freedom comes not from doing everything right. Freedom comes from options. Freedom comes from choices. And freedom comes from diversity and seeing how other people do things. And if I were to take a look at how we do things nationally, it's really interesting. And we get together, I don't know if you guys are aware of it, not everybody in here is familiar with the General Service structure, but we get together once a year for about a week. It's a year-long conference process. And we spend about $1 million. That's about 70 cents a member to decide what we're going to put in our AA literature. How long do you guys think it takes to put a pamphlet together? Just take a guess.
10 years.
Okay. 4 to 5 at least for a pamphlet to get it approved. And how long does it take you to change one of the paragraphs after it's been approved? I personally think that debate is perfect. That we need that. But to balance that, we need an avenue, and I think Bill recognized it right off the bat. The institutions do not remain democracies unless we have an avenue for people to share openly, to get different points of view across. And one of the things I like to remember, and I'm going to refer to some AA literature, but the long form of our second or our first tradition says, each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a great whole. AA must continue to live, or most of us will surely die. Hence, our common welfare comes first, but our individual welfare follows close afterward. And one of the things that Bill recognized, I believe, and our founders recognized right off the bat, was that in order for us, and he goes on, he writes in his essay, he actually says, no fellowship affords the individual as much liberty and freedom as Alcoholics Anonymous does. So my question has always been, when I look at the grapevine, and I have my debates with it, the progress for me, I'm really happy some progress has occurred for me. I've gone from being criminally insane to being slightly goofy. And I've gone from reading something new and going, oh, crap, to, huh, that's interesting. And I got to tell you, with me, open-mindedness doesn't sound like, I'll tell you how it starts, but here's that. It doesn't sound like, huh, I'm really open to that idea. That sounds wonderful. I think I should respect your opinions. Here's how open-mindedness sounds, starts with me. No, that can't be right. What are you thinking? That's the starting process. And what's really interesting is the thing that mellows me and tempers me out over the years is to sit down with other people that are just as strongly opinionated about these things. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to shift a little bit to the word journal. We journal in AA. You know what we call it? A four-step. I journal in a journal. I write. And one of the things, there's two things I know about journals. One is that they record my thinking as they were happening that day. And the other one is that they help me work through issues. And when I look at the grapevine from that perspective, we're recording our thinking. And I wanted to make a comment. Nancy said about reading the conference reports. And you guys all, you should have seen you guys' face. You went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Who would ever do that? And I'm guilty. I'm a sick man. I actually read every conference report. And I built a spreadsheet that's got all the names of everybody that served. And I can tell you how much, I'm an AA nerd, so you're going to have to deal with that. But one of the things that I found fascinating when I was reading through that, I can tell you, and I've subscribed to the Grapevine for a really long time, there is service. There is the things we agree on as a whole. And then there's the fellowship. I go to an area assembly as a delegate. I got one third maybe of my group showing up that are being represented. I go to a state convention. I got 100%. I can tell you that the voice of Alcoholics Anonymous speaks through its fellowship. Some people show up through the general service structure. I don't know. It's just the way it's always seemed to been. It's always seemed to be that way. And what's really powerful to me is as I walk through this stuff, and I'm looking at the journal and thinking, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to read through. I just got to share a couple things here, and I'm probably going to be quiet. But well, actually, I'm not capable of being quiet. But I just won't be at the microphone. You guys recognize this? Anybody recognize this? You guys, for those of you that don't recognize this, this is the souvenir AA book from the Grapevine, souvenir AA Grapevine book from the 1960 convention. That was 50 years ago. And we did another one this year. Both Nancy and Ken talked about that. What's powerful in here is half of the articles are written by friends of AA. And that's the other thing that I think is really interesting about the Alcoholics Anonymous. And it does cause a conflict between the meeting in print and the International Journal of AA. We have a long form of one of our traditions that actually says, you know, we think it's better that we are recommended by our friends than we go out and recruiting. I think the principle of tradition 11, at least in the long form, has actually been for us to not go recruit so that we're not proselytizing. And so one of the things that I find interesting is in AA, if we want new members to come in and we want to grow, I think, and I've been around for a while, I'm okay with my sobriety. I go to meetings, but I don't go to meetings for me so much. And my service work isn't necessarily devoted to the, I read with people, I do all the stuff that AA members do. But as I've been around for a while, I think my primary duty in Alcoholics Anonymous is to help make friends of AA. And one of the best ways is to for us to make friends with AA is instead of giving them a 500-page book or a synopsis of 60 years of how we operate, give them tidbits to get them excited, to show up, and then also, I don't know about you guys, but when I want friends and I invite them to my house, I don't tell them where to sit and to shut up. Sorry. I usually ask them what they're thinking. I say, welcome. We're on the same block. We're probably trying to do the same things together. How can we help? And occasionally, if I go to their house, I offer to do the dishes so I fit in. I try to find out what they're doing. And I believe that part of the AA grapevine and the conflict that we have with the meeting in print and it being the International Journal of AA is sometimes we forget. And it's just me. I forget. We only take care of a part of the alcoholism problem. We don't do it all. We need help. This whole program was built upon help. And so when I take a step back and I look at the grapevine as the International Journal of AA, what I see is yes, there's a component of it that's a meeting in print that's really important for anybody to read to see actually that this is what we do. We're meetings. There's a whole section in there about group service. Guess what? We're group service. There's a whole section in there about the service structure called Spotlight on Service. That's because we need to do service. We need to be part of the bigger whole too. And so, one of the things that I really love about the grapevine, and I made some notes here. I was going to do a presentation, but quite frankly, I'm not that disciplined. And anyway, what I wanted to just, I think I got about time to end here. One of the things that, there's a couple of things that I found. Couple of the things that have been really apparent that have been a common thread all the way through our history in Alcoholics Anonymous is we don't lecture, we share. And, I don't care whether you subscribe to the grapevine. Don't really care. Anyone hear something amazing? If 7% of the fellowship subscribed to the grapevine, we would have no financial problems. Enough. 7%. Look around and go talk to one other person out of 20. And it's not about subscribing. It's not about making money. What it's about is finding a funding source. And we're a little bit like Consumer Reports. We don't take advertising, we don't do all those other things, but what we do is we sell subscriptions and our membership provides our articles. If you're not going to contribute and you're not a reader, you're not going to read, don't read. Don't subscribe. Send a letter in. Call us. Write a story. As a matter of fact, I never thought I was a writer. I wrote an article and I sent it in and I'm like, I'm just pretty sure it was going to get rejected. It didn't. Sometimes I wonder about their staff, but, the selection criteria, but, no, I'm just kidding. The staff does a really great job. It's actually staffed by AA members, and I think you guys probably already know we have an opening for a publisher, so if you know anybody that's interested in that, please send us, or you can go online and find the registration, or find a submission form to get us resumes for that. So, I think in summary, what I really want to say is, Honor that AA is intensely local. Honor that the job of AA is actually, its primary purpose is to create spiritual entities called groups that produce recovered alcoholics which do 12-step work. That's what AA is. In order for us to stay healthy and to not become rigid, we need avenues of communication and dialogue so that we don't become rigid and we don't sink down. And I'm going to tell you, as a guy that serves as a delegate and a guy that serves on your General Service Board, I don't want to just listen to people in service. I just don't. I love us in service, and I think it's a very important, valuable component. But AA members' fellowship determines what we do. And you can see it the way we show up. When I interviewed for an AAWS director, they asked me what I thought we could do to improve the fellowship, improve, start growing again. And one of the comments I made was, I think we have to go where we're not. And we have to start talking about things we're not talking about. And it's dialogue that actually gets the imagination fired. And I'm going to end with, I'm going to repeat something that I just said a little while ago. Freedom does not come from doing it right. Confidence does not come from being competent. Confidence comes from putting your shoes on and knowing that they fit, that you're the right size. And I'm going to suggest that freedom comes from ideas and dialogue and listening to each other. And I think that that's the main thing that the Journal of Alcoholics Anonymous does. And we go back over a period of time and we can see, and there is one other thing I learned from the Journal. I've changed careers a couple of times. I guess you guys would never figure I was restless. And whenever I change industries, you know what I do? I don't go back and grab a book about the industry, because that's somebody's opinion and has sort of been dissected for 20 years. I actually go back and read 20 to 30 years worth of their journals, because I start to see the thought process evolve. And then I have a better understanding of how we ended up getting here. So I know that I'm an evangelist for this stuff, but it's not that I'm an evangelist for the grapevine. I'm an evangelist for us, you know, really having a good, honest, open discussion about our differences and the different ways we interpret things and preserving that and carrying it for the future. We are the founders of the future of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't take that lightly, and I think there's a lot of us that don't. The really good news is there's 1.4 million of us, and we don't have to do a lot. We can each do a little tiny bit. One story. If everyone in the fellowship wrote one story, well, first of all, we'd have to hire a lot more editors. But I think that's what I really want to end with. This is our deal. And, you know, as far as I can tell, and this isn't meant to be criticism of anybody, I think everybody likes to eat the cookies, but very few people like to bake them. And we only need like 4, 5, 10% of people baking cookies so we can all have them. My question is, which of the 10 are you in? Are you in the 9 or are you in the 1? And that's really all I have. It's a challenge and I'm really grateful to be here. And if I said anything that offended you, please write about it to the grapevine. And find me later. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. In case you haven't guessed, this labor of love serving on the Grapevine board is also a lot of fun. I mean, we really enjoy each other's company. In fact, I've actually served with both Nancy and Don since 1949 when we were... 49th Conference, 1999, when we were all delegates to the conference, along with at least two other people in the room at this moment. It's good to see you. A couple of insights from 1964 Grapevine. This first one is a chestnut. Many of you have heard it. Can't resist doing it. Christopher Columbus was an alcoholic. When he sailed to the New World, he didn't know where he was going. When he got there, he didn't know where he was. When he returned home, he didn't know where he'd been. And it was all funded by a woman. And another one. A couple of hunters dressed completely in red were having quick ones in a bar when a middle-aged lady walked in to make a phone call. On her way out, she noticed the hunters and asked the bartender why they were dressed in red outfits. "It's a state law," the bartender said. The lady cried out, "What a great idea! I think all states should require drunks to wear red." With that, we have about half an hour, actually, of time allocated yet. And I'd encourage any and all who wish to share from the microphones, from the floor mic, to do so. Particularly at the Grapevine, we want to hear what people have to say.
Hi, I'm Fred. I'm an alcoholic from St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, District 14. I have a very soft spot in my heart for the Grapevine because I've had two articles published in it, and I want to echo what Don said, that there is a, even if they weren't published, it would have been extremely helpful for me to have done it. You see, God uses my defects of character to keep me sober sometime. For example, I got a resentment when people were sharing in my home group, actually, on the sixth step. And were trying to turn this into an action step. I had very strong feelings that this was really a rest stop on the road of recovery. So I wrote an article called Inside Out that said that change has to come from the inside, not from the outside, and we don't work for it. It just happens when we relax and let it happen. And when we finally come to believe that something can enable us to change, we ought to just sit back and enjoy that sucker. And the Grapevine published it. It's in the it's not quite as facetious as I'm making it sound, but it was in the June 1995 edition of Grapevine. Now, I didn't expect you had published it, really, but can you imagine how I felt when I received an advance copy of it? The only bad thing was I had to wait 2 months before it finally came down to my home group. As a matter of fact, I can't wait to get back to St. Thomas to find that the June issues have arrived yet, because they always get there in the month after they're dated. I had another article that was published by the Grapevine 1 year exactly later, and that I wrote it before Hurricane Marilyn blew everything down in St. Thomas, and it came out later. It was Finders Keepers, Losers Weepers. I don't have any idea why we called it that, but it was about letting go of your old ideas, and it was basically that I had to let go of all of them. That's what my sponsor told me when he told me in early sobriety that, Fred, you got to let go of those old ideas. I said, which ones? So you might start with all of them. And that's what I tried to do and what I tried to share in that article. And I have a very, very, very soft spot for the Grapevine for doing that. I'm now working on another little one that's just heard in meetings. Things like in one of my home group meetings, they were talking about acceptance. And, of course, or no, perceptions, rather, expectations. And, of course, the glass being half full or half empty, someone talked about. One guy, though, said, you know, it's easy for me. If my glass is half full, all I have to do is get a smaller glass. A woman said once in an AA meeting that I'm going to have in that I've had many husbands. Two of them were my own. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Dave, and I'm an alcoholic from Minot, North Dakota Home Groups, a satellite group up there. And I know there's a lot of people in the West Central region in the room that have probably already heard this, but I still owe Ken and the Grapevine a letter that I told him I would send. But the Grapevine used to be purely magical for me, and it lost that a while back. About 75% of that reason is because of the alcoholism at large. You know, I'm a strong believer that that has no business in the Grapevine. The conference decided it should be. I don't know why. That's about 75% of the reason. So I'm still working on that and still talking to my sponsor about it, and I'm sure it'll be done on paper here shortly. But about 25% of it is we were doing one of our state assemblies up in Bottineau, North Dakota, which is about 10 miles from the Canada border. And we decided to do a meeting that night, and we opened a grapevine, and they're fumbling through it trying to find the preamble. Preamble that was, correct me if I'm wrong, Ken, I'm sure you know this, but written by the first executive editor of the Grapevine in 1943,
Not sure.
I think. Pretty close. It's in there. Well, it used to be for many, many years, the preamble was a full page in that Grapevine magazine. When we're looking at this, this was quite a few months, about a year ago, we're looking for this preamble, and it had been shrunk to a paragraph about that big. On the bottom of one page, about an inch and a half tall, the width of that page. It has since gone back to a half a page about inside there. But I believe that something that was written by an executive editor of the Grapevine bears a little more mention than alcoholism at large. You know, that rates about two full pages in the back, towards the back of the book, I believe. I think normally about two pages worth. Yet the preamble still is about that half page presentation. You know, I think we're kind of losing our track there a little bit on what's important in this magazine. You know, I have heard of other people that have dropped their subscription just because of the alcoholism at large. And I'm not so sure I'm not going to either when it expires. You know, it expires in probably about another year or so, but I just don't know that I'm going to renew it right now. You know, and that's the main reason. But like I said, the other part of it was about the preamble, you know. And when these people have told me they've done that, well, I stopped my subscription because of that. I said, but did you tell them? Did you tell them that? You know, I know I've told Ken verbally. He asked for the email and asked himself to be courtesy copied. I haven't done that yet. It's coming, I assure you. Yeah, it's coming. I will follow up on that. But when they're doing things we don't like, we need to tell them. You know, we need to write them, we need to call them, we need to tell our trustees, we need to tell our delegates, so that word gets back on that. We don't just need to do it and keep it to ourselves. You know, and that's one of the problems that I know. Because like I said, I have heard of several people, mostly at our servants' conferences, that say, yeah, I quit my Grapevine because of the alcoholism at large. We called them the gray pages initially for a while, and but they've done it because of that. But have you told them? If you did that, have you told them? They need to know. So, thank you.
Dave and everyone, if I may, just a very quick snippet of background to what Dave just said. If you've been a longtime subscriber, you did notice that last year the Grapevine went through some physical changes. The perfect binding, that was driven by request to some correctional facilities had disallowed staples. It seems that they make a nice tattooing tool. So we've eliminated the staples and we've gone to color, of course. And in that process of redesign, they began to use different colors for tabs, for sections, and so forth. And the design process led to some things being moved around or even left out. And the voice of the fellowship has been heard loud and clear on that one. And I'm assured by our editors that everything that people couldn't find can now be found readily. And Dave, thanks for mentioning that it was by conference action that the about alcoholism is still contained in here. As a member of the General Service Board, my job is not to dictate how AA operates, but to respond to the wishes of the fellowship. And if the wishes should be expressed differently, we'll be more than glad to implement what it is that you call for. Yes.
Chuck Clark, Area 56, Panel 60, Registrar, which has nothing to do with this. But I am a Grapevine subscriber for many, many years. And a year or so ago when they moved things around, I went nuts for a while and almost said it isn't here. But I found it. Also, when they took the gray pages out, I almost quit subscribing, and then I thought, this really isn't the thing for me to do. I really want some more besides that, and if you don't like the gray pages, don't read them. Tear them out, throw them away, whatever. But the question that I have is, since the Grapevine is not quite meeting the financial responsibility, it isn't being in the black, I think it's a little on the pink side at least, where does the shortfall come from? Where do we pick up the extra $200,000, quarter million, whatever the shortfall happens to be? Does that come from literature sales, from the general fund?
Don, you're the financial person. Would you like to? Don is the finance guy.
And maybe that'll spur a few extra people to subscribe.
Yeah, well, actually, what happens the way we work right now is the Grapevine keeps enough cash in to pay its bills with an amount of working capital. And when we have sustained losses over a period of time, that gets drawn down from the reserve fund. The reserve fund is actually comprised of excess of contributions and literature profits from both the Grapevine and from AWS. Mm-hmm. But since, when was the last time that we had a surplus in contributions over cost? Anybody know? 1953. So, yeah, we actually did. That was in 80. That was the one time we actually made that happen. That was in 80, was it 86, 87, 89? Yeah, you're right. Thank you. So basically, yes, it comes into the reserve fund. And the reason we have the reserve fund, in case you're not familiar with that, is AA does not borrow money. So over a period of time, we have amassed basically 9 months worth of operating expenses into a fund so that we don't have to make knee-jerk reactions and cut services that we'll have to rebuild later. And we also keep a fund there so that we don't have to go borrow money and keep credit lines so that and you'll find that when you read the Seven Tradition and Concept 11, 10, and a few other ones. I'm sorry to be long-winded about this, but I think it's, I'm a guy that showed up here with $50,000 in debt and hadn't filed with the IRS for 7 years. And so, you know, some stuff to be said for being prudent and having a rainy day fund. So, I don't know if I answered your question or not. I probably over-answered it.
It came from the reserve fund. And that
yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Denise. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm from Daniel Fellowship in California. And I'm the greatest pitcher for Grapevine. They got so tired of me announcing the Grapevine meeting when we first started that they said, as soon as I said, my name's Denise and I'm an alcoholic, then so everybody starts laughing because they know I'm going to say there's a meeting that we just started of Grapevine. I love that meeting because when I'm vacationing in Hawaii, the Kihei Morning Serenity meeting at 7 o'clock, they had this beautiful format of different meetings, and one of them was Grapevine meeting. I said, aha, there's an idea. We had a big book meeting, we had a women's meeting, we had a men's meeting, we have a step meeting, that I'm going to start a Grapevine meeting. And, you know, so a bunch of us, and we started, and it's been going. Now we have 6 years, and we have more and more people in it. But I love Grapevine. I've been, what you classify here yesterday, I signed as an old timer, and I've been, you know, subscribing to the Grapevine for many, many years now. And whenever I have access of them, I used to take them to the H&I, but now they want those without the staples. So anyways, I love Grapevine, you know. And whatever it's published, there is some articles. You know, I'm an old-timer, and there's some that have dual addiction. And at the beginning when I was reading, I said, that's not proper. And yet, but little by little, I'm adapting to it because we have to keep an open mind. AA is changing, and the young people are coming, thank God, and some of them do have a dual addiction. So we have to keep the door open, encourage them to come in, so we can be one-sided, you know. So like I said, I just love Grapevine, and I strongly encourage people to subscribe to it because I know that whenever I travel, this is close to my heart. It's lighter than the big book. So, anyways, thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Keith Essler. I'm grateful to be an alcoholic. Thank you. And my home group is the primary purpose group in Kihei, Maui, coincidentally. And there's a couple of things I came to mind to say. One is that to me, and I'm a past area Grapevine chair. Oh, excuse me, past area Grapevine Lavinia chair in my area. And I've tried to get in the habit of saying the two together as if they're one word, because our sister companion, Lavinia, I think doesn't get mentioned quite enough, and I don't think there's, you know, as much as there's a lack of awareness of the Grapevine within our fellowship, I think Lavinia is even, members are even less aware of Lavinia, so I try to say them as one word. The thing I want to say about the Grapevine is I think it's so, and Lavinia, is that it's so essential for our fellowship to keep them going, because that is where the minority opinion is enshrined. Our conference process producing literature produces orthodox literature that we can all agree is what Alcoholics Anonymous is, or most of us can agree with substantial unanimity. And then there's our own interpretations, our individual interpretations of what AA is and how we work our own programs, minority opinion, and that's enshrined there. And I think it's so important that we keep room for the minority opinion to be expressed loudly and clearly within AA so all the members have access to it. Part of the reason I think that there's a difficulty in with fellowship accepting the Grapevine and Lavinia more is I think there is there's needs more to be done to explain that although it's not conference-approved literature, it's conference-blank, you know, recognized. And I think that needs to be proclaimed more loudly on the cover or somewhere. It's just a problem I run into when I try to explain how I find the Grapevine and Lavinia helpful to my sobriety, that people say, well, that's not conference-approved literature. And it is an opportunity to educate and inform, but it is an obstacle sometimes. One more thing I want to say is about the Grape Pages, since it came up, is they saved my life. My first sponsor gave me a copy of the a Grapevine, and I read it. And, you know, I couldn't, the stories were boring, but I read that stuff. And one of the things that I read in there that I found out was that alcoholism was a disease. And I didn't feel like guilty and a loser, you know. It was like, oh, I had a disease, and I read this stuff. And I found also, I've also done CPC work, and I found that helpful, you know, for us. Because, you know, frankly, the professionals aren't really interested in our personal stories. Frankly, you know, they're shocked and appalled. They don't identify, but the magazine is helpful for them to have to give to alcoholics, and we need to make it attractive to them as well. And I have used it successfully, 12-stepping work. Also, I've submitted, let's see, I've had 3 articles rejected, 2 and 1 letter published and 1 letter rejected, and I'll keep writing when I have something to say. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, family. My name is Greg, and I'm an alcoholic. My home group is the Grapevine 2 meeting in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was very disturbed to find out that the first Grapevine meeting, which I attended, had absolutely nothing to do with the Grapevine magazine. So by going to the Grapevine 2 magazine, or Grapevine 2 meeting, I found out that they do read the magazine and discuss it every week. And I do that because when I first got exposed to the Grapevine, it was in rehab. My counselor told us that we had to do an article from the Grapevine. I said, what's that? And he pulled out a bag with some really tattered old Grapevines, and we had to do an article from that. And from there grew my love of the Grapevine, so that whenever I wasn't at a meeting or somewhere, I knew that I could always find a Grapevine and get the access to the stories that I like to hear. I got a funny little story. A couple of years ago, you may recall, they were trying to come up with a new name for the humor section in the back. And like most alcoholics, I had a great idea, which immediately left my head, and I forgot to submit it. Well, I looked at the date, and I really quickly submitted it, and it wound up showing up about 4 days too late at the Grapevine office. So I got a very nice email back saying, thank you, Greg, we appreciate your offer, but it came after the deadline, and we're sorry we can't accept it. Funny thing happened, about a month later, I got another email and says, we've reconsidered and we've accepted your suggestion. And I thought, well, how the heck could that have happened? And then what happened was, I figured it out when they finally submitted it. It was changed to At Wit's End, which, of course, was Bill's place up in Bedford Hills that he went to recoup from his depression from time to time. And then what I found out was that I made the same suggestion as four or five other people that has their suggestion accepted. And I figured, well, the poor people up there figured if I made the same suggestion and figured out that just because I handed it in late they didn't accept it, that they were afraid I'd go back out and drink again. So 4 days late, they decided it was okay. They'd accept me, and I got some of the gifts and prizes that were given out. And likewise, like many here, folks here, I submitted a couple of stories over the years past, and none of them got accepted. But about 4 months ago, I went down and did a silent retreat down in Kentucky, and somebody put me on to a gentleman who was in that monastery who was a monk with 23 years clean and sober. And I had the opportunity to go to a meeting with him. He was going to do his lead at a rehab place about an hour away. So what we did is we do what all alcoholics do. We shared our experience, strength, and hope with each other. And I told him a story of something unique that happened to me. And he says, you know what? He said, that would be a great grapevine story. Submit it. And I says, oh, I've done that a couple of times. I says, I imagine they get thousands per month. I said, well, I'll never get, you know, a story published. So I went ahead and I sent it, and I got the same little letter I got back from the other two. Thank you. We got your letter. We'll put it in the file. You know, if we ever decide we'll use it, we'll use it. So I said, yeah, been there, done that. Well, about 2 weeks ago, just before getting ready to come here, I got a letter, and they said, thank you. We've decided to use your story. Send us your waiver, and we will be publishing it in this August magazine. So I'm just tickled pink. Can't wait to see it. I have no idea if I don't think they're going to use my title. I think they're going to make their own for it, but the name's Greg. Watch for it. Thank you very much.
My name is Reggie, and I'm an alcoholic. I have the honor and the privilege to represent Western Washington, Area 72, as the Grapevine Literature Chair. We don't use Lavinia as a part of our thing yet, and that's because we're driven by motion up there. When Nancy was talking about the resentments, just recently, Grapevine created a huge resentment in the Western Washington area, and that is, they had an article that was submitted by Ward, the chairman of the board of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they had his picture in it, but they didn't have his caption of his name. Well, they had his name, but they didn't have General Service Chairman of the Board, Class A trustee. Well, I get two copies of the Grapevine, and before I even opened my copies, my phone started to ring. And this one lady said, how in the hell can they do that? How can they put a picture of somebody and a name, full name, in our book, magazine? And I said, well, if you go to the cover, it says it's our meeting in print. I chaired that meeting. And you know, it's an open meeting. And he raised his hand and I called on him. That's how it happened. I said, we will get with Robin and we'll find out if what happened as far as the mistake of it not being Class A. And then a couple months later, it came out as a correction. But you know, we do things like that in AA. The gray pages, that's been a topical thing every time it comes around. But the thing about that is last year, we held a Grapevine Quarterly on the 65th anniversary of the Grapevine itself. And we had a big cake with a copy of the picture of the magazine on it, permission granted by a Grapevine. And we gave everybody a copy of the first facsimile of the first issue. Somebody commented that 90% of the articles were about outside issues in the first publication. We started out with gray pages. We've expanded to colored pages. God, we've come a long way.
My name's Todd. I'm an alcoholic.
Todd.
When I came to the fellowship in 1985, I heard some old-timers talking about the way it was. Old-time AA. It was so much better. And I ran around for several years talking about these, seeking out these old-timers and asking them, what was it like? I've been around approaching 24 years, clean and sober, and you know what I say? I remember when it was so much better. We used to do it this way. And we're not that unique, folks. There's other organizations that do the same thing. I mean, I remember seeing Mayberry RFD, Andy Griffith. And there's a great one of their episodes was on the very same thing. You know what? AA isn't changing. It hasn't changed. People still go to the worst meeting, in my opinion, and get sober. They do. You know what? I'm pretty black and white. I don't like gray. It's my way. Your way sucks. And I'm reading with a guy currently that tells me, when you don't get your way, then you're uncomfortable. And that's really what it is. When I don't get my way, I'm not comfortable. And I don't like it. You know, I got my first subscription because I bought a raffle ticket, which some people say that's illegal. In a lot of states it is. But you know what? I got a subscription. I've been in pretty much a subscriber ever since. And personally, I think the gray pages are just another bit of information. If you don't like them, have your grapevine sent to your sponsor. Have him cut the pages out, and he can give it to you. Or you can write about it, you know, because when I get resentments, I probably need to discuss it with someone and find out what the truth is. It's usually about getting my way. That's what I find out. And that's because I am allowing someone to help me to get to some root causes. And it's painful. I am a published author of an article in Grapevine. I'd like to be 100%, so I don't think I'll submit another article.
The ones at the mic? We'll hold our sharing to those at the mic. We've got about... No? A quarter till? Oh, I missed that one. I thought we had to be done at 1. I'm sorry, there's no more time.
Can I be really, really
Please.
Fast? Okay. I wanted to say a great big thank you for the stapleless grapevines. I do H&I work, and it really means a lot to them. And I did a prison meeting with women, and we have them pick the article that they want to read, and it really connects them to AA to do that. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.